Pardon the interruption, but I'm Dan Le Batard. Wilbon's off again today, but I know America will welcome me into its bosom.
And Tony Kornheiser, don't say bosom. Creepy. Don't say it.
Who in sports would you like to be wrapped in their bosom?
I wouldn't. It's a 1940s word. It's a 1950s word. It's always preceded by ample. It doesn't work. You can't say it anymore.
How about Ralph Friedgen's ample bosom?
Ralph Friedgen? That yes. Must be a different guy than the Maryland coaches, Ralph Friedgen. Welcome to BTI, boys and girls.
I was talking about his bosom, not his name.
In today's episode, KG curses, Calipari reloads, and Levitard shimmy shakes.
Woo! A little bit of bosom! Feel it! Feel it in your bones! Feel it!
Let's start with the latest on Tiger Woods. As Vanity Fair parades around fresh details of Tiger's mistresses, word from Augusta is that Woods will use Monday's press conference at Augusta to further divorce himself from his past behavior. As part of this, he will reportedly ask to be addressed by his given name, Eldrick, instead of Tiger. Danny, we changed for Kareem, for Ali, for Ocho Cinco, so why not Tiger? Do you think a change in name will lead to a change in perception?
It makes me wonder, Tony, who's managing his career and why they're making some of the decisions they're making. I get it with Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for religious reasons. I get it with Ocho Cinco. I get it for marketing reasons. But when have we ever seen this before, where a guy is just trying to distance himself from who he used to be?
That's exactly what he's trying to do, and he doesn't have a number. It's not like Kobe Bryant, who can change his number. He doesn't have teammates. He's out there alone. There's only two things he can change. He can change his name, or he can change the red shirt on Sunday, and that's marketing. You don't want to do that.
He can change his behavior. That's one of the things that he can change.
Well, this is emblematic of the path to changing your behavior. I think it's very smart. I think it's a very wise thing to do, because he's saying that Tiger, which is a sort of a predatory name, Tiger is in the past. He's the bad person. I am now Eldrick. I'm the good person. I like this.
Well, what do you think about the idea that Tiger is an intimidating nickname? You know, you've got Golden Bear. You've got a Great White Shark. And now you're going to something here.
Those are nicknames. He has adopted Tiger as his full name. I don't think you can be against this. I think this is the right way. I think it's smart. It's the only downside is he can't use the TW logo on the hat anymore. He's got to use something else. By the way, do you want to tell him, or shall I?
You go ahead.
April Fool, you dopes!
Yeah!
We got stuck here! Yeah! Yeah! All right.
Let's move from a name changer to a game changer and the way Kevin Bleeping Durant makes opponents curse. Listen to Kevin Garnett after Durant thundered to the free throw line 15 times last night, or only two fewer than all the Celtics.
Thought we was playing Michael and Jordan tonight. The way he was getting the whistle. I mean, he damn near about, Durant damn near shot more free throws than the whole team. It's the game.
Tony, this a fair or foul, foul affair?
By the way, Eldrick, please stop. Okay, Kevin Garnett clearly did not get this memo. Kevin Garnett used to be the guy who got all the foul calls. Now Kevin Durant is that guy. Nobody saw the train coming in because he's in Oklahoma City. He's not in New York or L.A. or Boston or places like that. This guy has arrived. This guy is a star player, one of the five best in the league, and yes, he's going to get foul calls. Yes.
One of the things that I always find interesting to watch in sports is when the old get defiant because the young are coming to take their things. Kevin Garnett, you remember, Tony? I remember first time I saw him, he was an extraterrestrial. 7 foot wingspan, sitting there defending guys. He was the extraterrestrial first. Now Kevin Durant is the extraterrestrial, unguardable at 6'10".
Garnett was one of the great people to go from high school to the pros. He got all the calls. Everybody wrote about him glowingly. But he's aging, if not age yet at this point. Durant is great, though I will say that if I go back a few years, I still would have picked Oden over Durant, and I will bet the people in Oklahoma City are very glad that Portland did that, because this guy is a full-blown star, and nobody knows him. They don't even know how good he is.
No, they know now. No, Tone, they know. I mean, the guy shot only fewer free throws than Dwight Howard. Like, they know now. They've known for a couple of months now.
If Kevin Garnett was upset at how many foul shots Kevin Durant got last night, how do you think the Milwaukee Bucks feel about their trip to Cleveland? The Bucks went to the foul line 9 times. The Cavaliers went 45 times. The Cavaliers were rested. The Bucks were playing the second game of a back-to-back. And with all of that, the Cavaliers only beat the Bucks by 3 points. Danny, does this make you wonder if maybe the Milwaukee Bucks are better than everyone thought?
Well, they obviously are better than anybody thought before the season they'd be. The single most surprising victory, I think, this year in the NBA was Milwaukee winning at Denver after back-to-back nights playing. Johnny Sammons is got to be the most underrated player in the league, Tony. Well, he's got to be the most underrated guy in the league.
They're 17-5 since they got him. But even if he's the most underrated guy in the league, nobody's making him an MVP candidate. So you have to consider that it's the full team, that he was some piece to make the team better. I think Boston would have to be worried if they played Milwaukee in the playoffs, because Milwaukee is a really good team. I think Cleveland would have to be worried because the team that Skiles has, not the great individual star, but the team is terrific.
Well, I will say Bogut is a very above-average center. He has turned into an above-average center.
But he's not a dominating star player.
But don't get crazy, Cleveland. This league doesn't produce surprises like that. A couple of teams can surprise us in the regular season, but not like that. You're not going to have the Bucks beating Cleveland in the playoffs. Maybe because Boston is old and
maybe
vulnerable.
Maybe an almost, but you know what? Because what Cleveland does in the playoffs is depend 100% on LeBron James. 100%. It's not a great team. It's got a great dominating player.
And that's enough in that sport. Staying with basketball, LeBron James says he probably won't play for Team USA because of a busy summer that includes counting many, many new millions and making a movie. Team USA boss Jerry Colangelo tells Yahoo that anyone that skips this summer's World Championships is not guaranteed a spot on the 2012 Olympic team. This isn't very patriotic of LeBron, but it is distinctly American. Should his offseason be his or America's?
If this was a summer where the Olympics were being played, I would say it should be America's. But he's been involved with the Olympic team since 2004. And he was on the team that won the gold medal. And if he wants to take a summer off, let somebody else play. If he wants to make a movie in Vegas, whatever he wants to do, he has already given of himself. He's got the right to do this.
It's a funny reason, though. A movie in Vegas is a pretty funny reason. And it'd be okay if he did this.
It'd be a funny movie.
But it'd be okay if he did this before the Olympics, too, Tony. He's won the gold medal already.
That's right.
He redeemed America's
Let
place
Durant
in basketball.
Let Durant go play, or Stephen Curry go play, or Derrick Rose go play.
Do you think that Jerry Colangelo is serious, though, that he said that with a straight face, that if LeBron wants to play in 2012 after making a movie?
That's a threat that he has, and maybe he is serious, but the American people would say, hey, that's crazy. We want to send our best players, and he has been loyal before. This is, you know, in golf, you have to play either the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup every year. And if Tiger or Phil wanted to take 1 year off, you got to let them do it. You just can't make guys play all the time.
The American people would say, LeBron, we want you to play. Jerry Colangelo, how about you not be involved with this anymore?
John Calipari is telling recruits that he is losing 8 players, including 5 underclassmen from this year's Final 18. The recruits he is telling this to are a group of undeclared McDonald's All-Americans. This is the 5-out, 5-in substitution pattern. It's like a hockey line change for Calipari. What do you think of this annual right by him?
It's so great and so very wrong, Tony. I mean, he's just climbing through a loophole. This is how he's made himself the highest paid coach in this sport. But it doesn't feel any kind of right, does it? I mean, if you're even trying to keep up the illusion of amateurism, this doesn't feel any kind of right.
I could not disagree more with this. He looks at the law as it exists, the one and done rule. And he says, if that's the rule they're going to make, I will play to that rule. I'll go out, I'll get Derrick Rose, I'll get Tyreek Evans, I'll get John Wall, I'll get Cousins, and I'll show you how good I can be. He made the final game with this strategy at Memphis, and he had a great team this year at Kentucky.
Understood, but are you even going to pretend about student-athlete? Are you even going to pretend that?
I'm not. Why?
I guess you don't have to anymore.
Do they pay him because he's a chem prof, or do they pay him to win basketball games?
They pay him to win basketball games. They pay him better than anyone in the sport to win basketball games.
But he's going out to do this every single year. He's collecting all the fancy cars every year.
But it should embarrass people who run universities that they sell their soul this flagrantly.
Change the rule, make it 2 and out or 3 and out or something like that, like with baseball. Let them go early, or if they come in, let them stay a few years.
Why would any of these kids even go to class? Why would they even go to class?
They're there to play basketball, and he's there to coach basketball. Time for a break. When we return, Coach K joins us to talk about his team, his prospects, and the sideline stool he hates.
And later, what are the chances Colt McCoy is the best quarterback in this draft?
What do you say we put on our interview clothes for Krzyzewski, huh?
Get the latest soccer news both on and off the field with the SoccerNet podcast. Download it now at the iTunes Music Store and at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Duke is back in the Final Four and faces West Virginia on Saturday. We welcome to the show the coach of the Blue Devils, the happy Mike Krzyzewski. Let's see if I can change that mood. A lot of folks had you as the first number one seed out. How surprised are you to be the last number one seed standing?
Well, for me, I don't follow the rest of the tournament. I follow our bracket and who we might play. So, to be quite frank with you, I don't pay much attention to predictions.
Let me ask you a question about strategy. It seems that this year you have your big guys focused very clearly on rebounding and then getting the ball out to your shooters. Am I missing something, or is that a conscious thing? We got three shooters. They're going to shoot. Our big guys are going to work the boards.
No, that's what we've been practicing all the time. I mean, our big guys can shoot too, but our team is set up to rebound and play half-court defense. Yeah, with six of our nine guys being 6'8 and above. So we've just tried to, do what we can to make this team play at its best. And the kids have really bought into everything that we've asked them to do.
Yeah, I would ask if that was a hard sell, that sort of division of labor like that, so strictly divided, was that a hard sell? How long did it take for everybody to say, okay, that's how we can win?
No, it wasn't a hard sell at all. They wanted to do it, and they took pride in what they were doing. And, in college, too, if they don't buy it, they're sitting. They're not going to play. So, I don't know if they do that in the pros, but any college coach, if someone's not going to buy in, and most of the pro coaches would do that, too.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike. You seemed very publicly happy. Anyone would be publicly happy reaching the Final Four, but you don't do a lot of publicly happy. Were you unusually happy that this team advanced to this place?
I was unusually happy. I almost went wham or bam or whatever the heck you do.
I was so happy.
Does that mean you're happy when you do that?
Absolutely. Thrilled.
All right. But
I would
was
love
really
to see
happy.
You do that. Like, you got to do it.
I'll do it if we win Monday. Because I really love my team and I love my guys, and it was the first time for them. It's kind of like a parent or a grandparent seeing your kid or grandkid do something for the very first time at a high level. And to see John Shire and Lance, Brian, my seniors, and especially, so fulfilled, so happy. It was a great feeling. The locker room afterwards was kind of a cool experience.
There has been a little bit of talk because of the drought, so to speak, that Tony was talking about, that you were so attending to USA basketball that perhaps the attention to Duke basketball wasn't quite as much as it was in the past. Any accuracy to that, or any refocusing on Duke basketball, or was it perfectly easy for you to split the priorities there?
Well, I think one of the reasons we are back is because of USA basketball. I think I'm a better coach. My staff is better because of their experience with those great players and other coaches, and competing against a different group of coaches, we learned more. And coaching for the United States has only helped us. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, there's no negative at all, or it hurt us or anything like that. I mean, I think that's a really kind of a foolish statement. And I'm sure that you didn't make it.
No, I didn't make that one. Sure I was quoting others. That's not my statement. I'm not taking ownership of that statement.
No, I know. Because when I think of foolish, I never think of you guys.
We will get you out of here this. All right? Out of here on this, so you'll be happy. Down in Houston, you were uncomfortable. You were sitting on a stool. You look like a medieval warlord. Is the same thing going to happen in Indy? Are you going to be propped up on a stool?
It's going to happen again. And no, I don't like it, because I like to sit with my staff, because they're really good and we talk during the game and they give a lot of great suggestions and we follow most of them during the ball game. So you're kind of isolated up there. And I felt like probably you did when I was in Catholic school. You were in a different school, but
in the Hebrew
you
school,
did
yes,
something Mike. Bad. Yeah, I mean nothing bad about that either. But you know, when you're bad, you sat in the corner on a stool, and so I felt like I had done something bad because one thing similar is we both worry about things and feel guilty about things.
Guilt, it drives us all, Mike Krzyzewski. It drives us all. Thank you for joining us. Best of luck, really.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you.
We're taking a break. When we come back, Dan and I have a serious chat about Dan's facial hair, the conquistador look that he's wearing now.
Kornheiser, he loves the Wham.
Yeah, everybody loves it.
Coach everybody K loves it. The Wham.
Everybody loves it.
He endorsed the Wham, sort of, kind of.
Sort of.
Racing fans, get the latest news from NASCAR from the J-Ski Podcast featuring Mark Garrow. Download for free at iTunes or on the Pod Center page at ESPNradio.com.
It's time for the game that I win and Levitard ruins, Odds Makers. Let's get the first one from our host, Anthony Joseph Hito Turkoglu Reality.
Still? I tried, Hito, I tried.
Friedston!
The chances the Lakers go out before the NBA Finals.
Okay, they're losing on an extended road trip now. They don't have any extended road trips in the playoffs. They got Kobe Bryant. They got a deep team. They're a championship team. Who's going to beat them exactly? Dallas is going to beat them. Utah is going to beat them. Oklahoma City. I don't see it happening. 20%.
They're actually not that deep, but Andrew Bynum's not healthy, and they are the best team in the NBA, and they're not losing games at home, as you said. 0%. 0%. 0% that the Lakers aren't in the finals. It's not combustible chemistry. 0%. This is the most the predictable sport we have, Tony.
Zero.
The best team goes to the finals.
Next,
the chances Colt McCoy ends up being the best QB in this draft.
Well, everybody thinks he's going to be better than Tim Tebow, and Sam Bradford does have a shoulder issue. Jimmy Clausen, I don't know how many games he won in college, but it's not as much as McCoy. No quarterback has ever won more games as a starter than Colt McCoy, so I'm going to give him a chance. Maybe he reminds people of another quarterback from the state of Texas who's undersized, Drew Brees. I'm going to go 30%.
Well, he's very accurate. That's the thing that he's got, and that's the thing that people love about Drew Brees. But he's not Drew Brees accurate, though, Tony. I don't know if
Might
you've seen
be.
This. Have you seen this Sport and Science special? No, nobody in the world is as accurate as Drew Brees. The guy there, it's a bullseye. He's fighting. He's throwing against Olympic archers, and he hits 10 straight bullseyes, more than the archers.
Percent.
That doesn't have anything to do with the question
percent.
That was asked there. 15%. I forgot what the
You're
question
killing this
was.
Killing this game. Next.
That's what I do. That's my
Next,
move.
The chances Brian Kelly is secretly happier with his Notre Dame team than he's letting on.
The chances are 100%. He's coaching Notre Dame. He's never had players this good before. But hasn't he learned anything from Charlie Weiss? Can he shut his big yap and win some games before he mouths off? It's April. They're not even going to play until September. I mean, this is stupid. Shut up. Shut up, but 100%.
He was angry and ripping his team. And one of the things he said is, maybe they don't understand what my standard is, which if they understood his standard, what they do is go unbeaten and then disappear during the bowl game. Like they just wouldn't show up for the bowl game if they understood what his standard was.
Big so shot
what,
at him.
What's the question? What's the question again? Percentage that he's happy?
Doesn't matter. Next.
90%. 90%. No.
Next
no. I got it in.
Next.
What is that?
The
Why is there next there?
Jason Hayward lives up to all the hype.
All right. He's got the starting right field job for Atlanta. He's said to be the best prospect in all of baseball. It says that he hits home runs into the parking lot. Some of the Braves have compared him to Fred McGriff and to Cliff Floyd, and that's okay. But the manager, Bobby Cox, invoked the name of Henry Aaron, which seems to me a bit steep. I've never seen him play. I'm going to take a wait-and-see attitude. I'll go as high as 55%.
The interesting thing that I thought about this story is Bobby Cox doesn't do that, Tony. You know, he's very careful.
It's a big name.
He's very careful.
Henry Aaron, big name.
Hank Aaron, and when he says Cliff Floyd hit the ball as hard as anybody from the left side. You know, Gary Sheffield on the right side. But in terms of, they're talking about the sting that comes off his bat.
You got a percentage?
95%. This guy's going right. to be a stud.
95%.
He's going to be a stud.
You want to recap this?
Take the X off of there. It's going to hurt my average.
Your average? You're worried about your... Bam, you're winning this one. Don't worry about it.
Woo!
Actually, Tony, you want to tell him or you want me to tell him? April
tell
Fools. All right, TK, you're the winner.
That's it. Oddsmakers 100% over. Let's take one more break, but still to come. A look back at one of the better April Fool's pranks in recent memory.
And the Tar Heels attempt to capture the NIT title tonight.
And again, and hide the banner after they get it.
You should have seen your face, Levitard. You were like, I won?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Let me see that face again.
Oh, I was just delighted.
Pardon the interruption. Presented by Jose Cuervo Silver. So smooth, it shatters expectations.
Let's get happy. Happy 33rd birthday, John Gosling. This is John of John and Kate Plus 8. And as the emasculating Kate is now on Dancing with the Stars and is said to be in line for various TV shows centered on her, John has fallen off the face of the earth. He may as well be putting mulch in your neighbor's backyard.
Mulch is a funny word. I imagine that cigar in Bert Sugar's mouth probably looks like mulch at any given point.
Happy anniversary, Mark Cuban. On this day in 2003, you picked a fight with an actor dressed as a ref in an April Fool's joke that certainly got Del Harris. An upset Harris looked on in horror as Cuban was pulled off of the ref, taking a few seconds longer than everyone else to realize the prank.
Del Harris confused is funny and redundant.
Happy trails to the Wizards and T-Wolves' 16-game losing streaks. Both stinko teams won last night. The Wizards went on the road and beat New Orleans. The Timberwolves won at home against the sorry Sacramento Kings. The NBA, where amazing happens.
You called that, didn't you? Didn't you call both winning streaks?
Only
losing
one.
Streaks ending?
Only one. Time to find out we messed up reality.
You guys were solid today. The only thing I wrote down was Johnny Sammons. That's what Dan said, like they went to grade school together. Johnny Sammons, yeah.
Shout out, Danny, and I'm taking the floor. We're going to shout out to the affable Rich Levin, who is retiring at the end of this season as Bud Selig's right-hand man. Everybody knows him from baseball. What people don't know about Rich Levin is that in 1964 and 1965, he was a member of UCLA's College Basketball Champions. Ah, pretty cool. We're taking a break, but there's more PTI to come, including the NIT final.
Back in a few minutes. Until then, let's toss it up to SportsCenter.
Good night, Canada.
Good night, Mulch.
We like Rich Levin. At least I do. I don't know about Dan. I do.
I like him, too.
Welcome back to the PTI program. Okay, Dan. Should baseball extend the netting up the first and third base lines to better protect the fans?
Tony, this issue always comes up when a Minnesota Twin hits a screaming line drive into the stands that hits his mother, doesn't it? Every time that happens, this issue comes up. It seems like a good idea, though, doesn't it, Tony? Not netting, but in 2010, we've got to put something up, can't we, that doesn't actually obstruct the viewing experience very much? Isn't there some sort of thing, material that we can put up that's a little bit easier on the eyes than netting?
You mean like a plastic Gardol shield from the 1960s with toothpaste?
No, not from 50 years ago.
They did this in hockey. There was a young girl who was hit by a puck and died, and they put the netting, they extended the netting all over the place in hockey. Nobody liked it at first, but they understood that it's better safe than sorry in that circumstance. I've had those seats, I'm sure you have too, behind home plate, where the ball comes back at like a rocket launcher, like 90 miles an hour, and if not for that netting, it's going to hit everybody in the head. It hurts your ability to pick up the pitch, I grant you, and it will hurt from first and third, too. But I think it's probably the safe and wise thing to do.
Well, why wouldn't you do it? Just because some people at first and third base? I mean, people still want seats behind home plate,
yes,
even though the netting is there.
Yes,
I mean,
of course they do.
Why wouldn't you do this if you're just avoiding the inevitability of somebody being really harmed by not just a ball, but a bats are always flying in the stands and wood shards are always
flying.
This
is why they do this, you know, with auto racing. They want to take the precaution so stuff doesn't fly into the stands. It's not great for the viewing. It makes sense, though. 1 minute left. Let's go to the big finish. The NCAA revealed today that it is studying a 96-team basketball tournament. Expansion is inevitable, isn't it?
It is, but you're going to make the regular season even more irrelevant. The NIT, you're just going to merge the NIT and the NCAAs. The Mavs won their 50th game for the 10th straight season. Are you impressed?
It is impressive. I wonder why Dirk Nowitzki is never mentioned anymore as an MVP candidate. Mets shortstop Jose Reyes. We'll start the season on the DL. Big deal?
Yeah, the Mets are cursed. I mean, God, that's a bad break for them. Jimmy Clausen is flying to Washington to visit with the Redskins tomorrow. Will they draft him?
How's this for an answer? Ooh, I don't know. The Giants signed 44-year-old punter Jeff Fegels to a contract. Too old?
That's one of the great stories in sports. He went to college at University of Miami before I did. Houston hired James Dickey to be its basketball coach. Tell us about him.
I can't. I'm sworn to secrecy, but somebody named James Dickey was a great novelist. Last one, NIT final tonight, Dayton at UNC. Who you got now?
Did you really say I don't know to the Jimmy Clausen question?
I did, in fact.
Dayton, North Carolina. I don't know.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser, and I'm not derivative.
I'm Dan Levitard. Thanks for watching. Check out the PTI podcast on iTunes. Let's go back to Bristol.
Eldrick, go to your room.
PTI.